What happens when social rejection meets coding genius? On a cold October night in 2003, after being stood up for drinks with two Harvard women, Mark Zuckerberg returned to his dorm room with beer and frustration. By 8:13 p.m., he was blogging about his rejection and contemplating a website to compare students' attractiveness. What began as a drunken prank evolved into FaceMash, a hot-or-not site for Harvard students that required hacking into university databases to collect thousands of student photos. "Let the hacking begin," Mark wrote, slightly intoxicated but laser-focused. Within hours of launch, FaceMash crashed Harvard's network with 22,000 votes from 400 students in just 30 minutes. Though the site earned Mark probation from Harvard's administrative board, it revealed something profound. People crave digital social interaction centered around real identities. This insight would become the foundation for something much bigger. Harvard, in 2003, remained a fortress of traditional hierarchies, where status was determined by exclusive final clubs occupying magnificent mansions and hosting coveted events. Eduardo Saverin, a Brazilian-born economics major with investment talent, desperately sought entry into this elite world. At a Phoenix Club event, Eduardo embellished stories about his $300,000 oil futures trade to impress members, knowing admission would transform his social standing. In contrast stood Mark Zuckerberg, a sophomore with curly hair, slider sandals, and an awkward demeanor. Despite his social limitations, Mark had earned recognition as a programming prodigy who created Synapse, which Microsoft reportedly offered millions for, and CourseMatch, showing students' class schedules. Harvard's tradition of publishing physical Facebooks with student photos provided raw material for what would follow. The exclusivity of final clubs demonstrated how restricted access increases desirability, creating perfect conditions for a digital revolution. Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss epitomized Harvard's elite, 6'5" Olympic rowers from Greenwich who belonged to the exclusive Porcellian Club. For nearly 2 years, they had developed Harvard Connection, a platform to digitize Harvard's social networks. After Mark's FaceMash incident, they recognized a programming talent who could realize their vision. Their calculated meeting in Kirkland Dining Hall was strategic. They pitched Harvard Connection not just as a website, but as a gateway to social legitimacy, offering financial rewards and the chance for Mark to become the centerpiece of Harvard's social scene. Mark appeared genuinely interested, asking detailed technical questions. What followed was a masterclass in evasion. Over 2 months, Mark maintained a complex communication pattern, 52 emails and multiple calls, with promises but no deliverables. His updates grew increasingly technical and vague. Meanwhile, unknown to the twins, Mark had begun coding the Facebook in January 2004, incorporating features similar to those discussed in their meetings. A parallel development that later resulted in a $65 million settlement. Mark approached Eduardo with the Facebook, an exclusive online community where Harvard students could create profiles and connect using their harvard.edu emails. Eduardo immediately saw its potential, investing $1,000 for servers in exchange for 30% ownership to Mark's 70%. TheFacebook.com launched on February 4, 2004, with a clean design featuring a dark blue header. Eduardo helped spread the word by emailing Phoenix Club members, social influencers who quickly popularized the site. The response was overwhelming. Within days, hundreds signed up. Within a month, over half of Harvard's undergraduates had accounts. The site's success stemmed from its exclusivity, emphasis on real identities, network effects, and social validation through friend requests. As popularity soared, Mark expanded to other elite schools while maintaining exclusivity. The team grew to include roommates Dustin Moskovitz and Chris Hughes, with ownership restructured to 65% Mark, 30% Eduardo, and 5% Dustin. By May 2004, Facebook had 100,000 users across multiple universities, transforming how students interacted and defined their social identities. By spring 2004, Facebook had reached 150,000 members. Mark announced a summer move to California, while Eduardo took an investment banking internship in New York. Eduardo deposited $18,000 for expenses and provided blank checks, a separation that would prove fateful. In Palo Alto, the team transformed a house into a hacker's paradise, complete with zip line and late-night coding sessions. Mark's unconventional hiring approach, coding competitions fueled by whiskey shots, attracted talented programmers devoted to his vision. The move connected Facebook with Sean Parker, Napster's charismatic co-founder. After discovering Facebook on a Stanford student's laptop, Sean immediately sought out Mark. For Mark, Sean represented Silicon Valley's rebellious spirit and access to elite investors. Visiting from New York, Eduardo grew suspicious of Sean's influence. At a club one night, Eduardo watched in disbelief as a Victoria's Secret model approached Mark and led him away. California was transforming not just Facebook, but Mark himself, pulling him from Eduardo's orbit into Sean's world of Silicon Valley ambition. The clash between Eduardo's East Coast caution and Mark's Silicon Valley ambitions led to betrayal. After Eduardo froze Facebook's bank account, feeling sidelined, their relationship deteriorated. In October 2004, Facebook secured $500,000 from Peter Thiel for about 7% of the company. Eduardo signed incorporation documents showing he would have 34.4% ownership, with Mark at 51%. By December 2004, Facebook celebrated its millionth member at a San Francisco party. Eduardo attended, telling everyone he co-founded Facebook, but noticed people seemed interested only in Mark. Throughout the evening, Sean Parker watched Eduardo, thinking everything was going exactly according to plan. The betrayal became clear in April 2005 when Eduardo visited Facebook's new Palo Alto office. Instead of a meeting, he faced a lawyer with papers showing Facebook had authorized millions of new shares, diluting Eduardo's ownership from 34% to less than 10%. When he refused to sign, the lawyer informed him he was no longer part of Facebook, completely erased from corporate history. The dilution was legal due to clauses Eduardo had previously signed, but his removal left him feeling utterly betrayed. Facebook's rise from Harvard Project to global giant represents one of the most significant transformations of the early 21st century, evolving from an exclusive network into a platform connecting billions. The innovations driving Facebook's growth were deceptively simple: the wall for public messages, photo sharing with tagging, and the news feed that transformed Facebook from static directory to dynamic social experience. These features tapped into fundamental human desires for connection and self-expression. By requiring real identities rather than anonymity, Facebook created an online environment mirroring real-world social dynamics while amplifying their reach. Facebook pioneered a business model based on attention and data, building an advertising machine of unprecedented precision that revolutionized digital marketing while raising profound privacy questions. Mark emerges as contradictory, technically brilliant but socially stunted, visionary about connection yet seemingly callous in relationships. His early business card captured this duality: I'm CEO bitch. Facebook's legacy extends beyond its founders' fortunes or legal battles. It represents a fundamental shift in how we understand privacy, identity, and community, a transformation whose implications we're still grappling with today.